You see two of us up here.
Is this on?
Yeah, it should be.
Hello?
Hello, you got to turn him up? Oh, yeah, you got to turn it on, Corbin.
It's on.
Is it on?
Yeah, it's on.
Can you hear him?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right.
You all know who I am, but Corbin, what's your background? Where are you coming from?
Well, my name is Corbin Moreau. I am actually from Sacramento, California. I am a Souls West student. How many of you guys heard of Souls West? Okay, it's for those of you who don't know, Souls West is actually a Bible college. It's located in Prescott, Arizona, and it's where we get trained to do evangelism as part of our lifestyle. And so I'm actually here on a 10-week Bible practicum. I'm staying in South Lake Tahoe right now. But I'm just here visiting you guys and here to share the word with you.
In a week and a half or almost 2 weeks, we're going to have a series of evangelist meetings up at the lake. And Wesney and Corbin and Mark, a fellow student friend, are going to go together to present that. And we're really looking forward to it. And something that I'm going to be involved in as well. They haven't told me all of the ways that I'm going to be involved quite yet, but I might get to actually sit and watch and just visit, and that would be great. But it's interesting. Both Mark and Corbin have French last names, and neither one of them are French. Yeah, so French Sacramento, I guess. All right?
Yeah.
Well, Corbin said he liked to wander when he spared, or when he shared. And I don't mind that a bit, because now if I stay up here, I look him in the eye. We have something on our hearts today. We'd like to communicate with you. All right? So let's bow our heads, please. Lord in heaven, would you send the Spirit for giving and for receiving, for sharing and for living. And we ask that we would feel you, that we would be able to see you in our hearts and minds, that we could touch you with our very souls today. It is our prayer, and we pray it in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
Corbin, there's something on your mind and heart. What is it?
Well, today we're actually going to be talking about the ministry of
look
healing.
Look at them, okay?
I can't look at you?
Yeah, yes, you can, but not very often. It'll blind you.
We're going to be talking about the ministry of healing. How many of you guys have heard of the book Ministry of Healing?
Yep.
Gotcha. Every hand should go up. Okay. But today we're going to be talking about it in a different twist. It's going to be really, really, really fun. But really, really different and really new. What do you guys say is ministry? You guys can give me feedback. What is ministry?
Service to others.
Service to others. Okay. Anyone else?
Sharing your faith.
Sharing your faith. Okay. Anyone else? Want to share? Spreading the gospel. I like that definition. If you guys could turn with me to Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Still here, pages turning. All right. And here it says, I want to read actually just the last part. It says, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel and to the grace of God. So we see here that it is testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, what does it mean to share the grace of God with others? Does it mean necessarily standing up here like we're doing today preaching? Or does it mean that everyone can somehow minister? in some way, shape, or form. Amen. I like that. Pastor Gary, did you have a testimony you wanted to share about ministry?
Not yet. Okay. I'm going to save that for a little bit. What text did you want to go to? Because when we were preparing this last week, you had about two or three "Go ye therefores into all the world." Okay.
How many of you guys know where that verse is found?
Oh, go ye number therefore. Of places. Okay.
Matthew. Yeah. Matthew 28. All right. Verse what? 19 and 20.
Okay. Yeah.
So, how many of you guys can quote with me that text? Let's try it. Let's go through it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father
and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit,
teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age.
Now I have something to say.
All right.
I don't know how much I'm going to say in this sermon, okay? But we kind of are going to give it to Corbin. How many of you have heard that verse preached with you or to you or around you so many times that y'all could quote that? And probably Luke's version, and probably Acts's, which is Luke's version, and you've heard that almost unto nauseam. Have we become jaded by hearing, hey guys, gals, my friends in this fellowship, go into all the world preaching, sharing. So, what could we say today that would cause this message that these folk have heard over and over again? What makes it, let's say, fresh?
Well, let's go to a new rendition of this word, okay. Of this verse. It's found in Luke chapter 16. Found it very interesting. Luke 16 and verse... I think I said the wrong.
It's Mark.
Mark? Okay. Yeah. Mark 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's read it. It says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." It's new. It says to the whole creation. And you know, we were actually talking this week, and we looked at the word go, remember?
Yep.
And we found that it's 3,000 times in the Bible, over 3,000 times in the Bible, that just one word, go, is found. You know, there's a simple concept that we want to share today. And it's that ministry is for everyone. That everyone can be involved. That ministry can be a lifestyle.
Must be a lifestyle.
So I want to go deeper into Acts chapter 20 and this verse 24. You guys can turn back there. It says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Now, I have a simple question. How did Jesus minister? Does anybody remember how Jesus ministered? We're actually going to go to a story.
All right.
It's a story about the Pool of Bethesda. How many of you guys know where that story is found in the Bible? Anybody? Up here?
It's about the man sitting there wanting to get into
it. Right? Yes, it's actually going to be found in John chapter 5. So if we can turn today to John chapter 5, and we're going to actually read through this parable. John chapter 5, and actually starting in verse 1. And when you guys are there, you can say amen.
Amen.
All right. So I'm going to read it. It says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years." Imagine being unable to walk or move for 38 years. That is intense. It says, "When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be healed?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me.'" So imagine your whole life, 38 years, you're trying to get healed. And every time you go to the doctor's office, there's five other people in line. And by the time he's done with the fourth person, it's time for the practice to close. How would you feel? For 38 years. You can't, disappointed. Definitely, I would feel disappointed myself. Let's continue reading. It says in verse 8, "Jesus said to him, 'Get up. Take up your bed and walk.' And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, 'It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed.' But he answered them, 'The man who healed me, that man said to me, "Take up your bed and walk."'" Now I want to go into what this is talking about very simply before we continue. What is the first thing that Jesus did for this man? Does anybody know? What?
Asked him if he was ready.
Okay, he asked him if he was ready.
If he wanted it.
He asked him if he wanted it. And then when the man said yes, he did, Jesus did what? He healed him. How interesting. If we continue reading, we'll actually see that this man, Jesus spoke to this man. I feel like Pastor wants to say something before I continue.
No, but I'm not going to say anything until you finish.
Okay. This man actually, he, after he was healed, Jesus forgave his sins. I find it interesting that Jesus uses a method very foreign to many minds, that's simply connect with the people, heal them of their physical needs, whatever they may be. You may not be able to heal them with like health, and you know, maybe you might not be able to cure cancer. But there are simple things that we can do each and every day in our life that can minister to someone before we try to heal them of their spiritual maladies.
It's why our sharing with you is entitled The Ministry of Healing. It's a play on words. Because every ministry that you can involve yourself in is a healing ministry. You're healing hearts. Okay? You're helping other people come to health, sometimes physically, sometimes spiritually, but they go together. And what makes this somewhat fresh, and we're getting there, but while we have heard this message many, many times, how often have we actually followed through and done it? Where has our growth with Jesus come to the point where who you are is all about the ministry of the gospel with your fellow neighbors, friends, and cohorts? Now, I really like this story of the man at Bethesda. I have a parallel story. You don't mind if I share it? But it emphasizes how this goes together, and it is this. I received a telephone call at about 12:30 in the evening while I was asleep years ago. And it was a lady asking for some help for a friend. And I said, okay. And she said, well, I don't explain this except that the chandeliers and the lights are going back and forth like this, and the windows are chattering, and my roommate is in a little ball, and I can't get her out of the ball, and something's desperately wrong. I said, uh-huh. She said, would you come and help? So I drove the 45 minutes or so, praying the entire way because I knew what was going on. And I got to tell you that when I got to the house, it was as calm as it could be outside. As soon as I opened the door, or as I knocked and the door was opened for me, I came in, and she was absolutely right. Everything was flying. What should we do? Said, let's ask the Lord on our knees to control this room, and when he does, we'll go to the next room. That happened for all of the rooms through the house, and then came into this lady's bedroom, and she was in a fetal position. We could not stretch her out. So we prayed unto the Lord to please send angels that excel in strength to help this woman who could not help herself. In a little bit, there was some relaxation. This whole process took about 6 hours. Okay, wasn't easy. And I wasn't asking anybody to say who they were when they left. But finally, I asked, Lord, would you please? And what happened is the lady relaxed. Her eyes glassy as all get out. She had a little bit of focus in her eyes. And I called her by name and I said, do you want me to be here? Now, I'm not trying to tell you that I'm the Lord. I can tell you this right now. I was one very fearful in the Lord person. And I say this to you in total humility, because I know what happens when you don't. I know where it leads, and it's not good. And I looked at her, I said, you have a Christian background, do you not? She nodded. I said, this is what's happening. You've gone into some kind of a trance, and you have been controlled by Satan. And we've been praying for you. Now that you're awake, do you want us to continue? Do you want us to pray? And she said yes, and it was over.
Wow.
She was able to blink, open up. She went to take a shower. We fixed breakfast, and I wiped out the day's schedule, and we walked and talked Jesus. Lady gave her heart to Jesus Christ, joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church until she died.
Wow.
some time ago of cancer. But this wonderful ministry that all of you have come to is a ministry that heals the soul. And as we continue, let's talk about ministering to other people as being the reason for you being able to breathe. All right?
So I have a quote that I want to read in Medical Ministry, page 253. It says, "We must prepare ourselves for this line of work, for in doing it, we are following the example of Christ. They should be as well prepared by education and practice to combat disease of the body as they are to heal the sin-sick soul by pointing to the great physician. They are fulfilling the commission which Christ gave to the 12 and afterwards to the 70, into whatsoever city ye enter, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Christ stands by their side as ready to heal the sick as when he was on the earth in person."
Wanted to bring him back to our scripture reading. Let's read this again. But let's read this. And now it's Proverbs chapter 3, starting with verse 5. Okay, would you look? And I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Okay? With ministry and healing going together, and with a concept of us all being involved where the Lord asks of us, all right? And He might ask you to do something you've never done before. Or He might say, stay in your bailiwick and do a great job in the name of God. And that may happen. But let's read this with now our minds on the concept of ministry and healing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Wow, that was a great thing you just did. Wow! I believe it was the Lord that did that. I just happened to be in the same room. Okay? In all ways, acknowledge God. He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and it will heal your body and refresh your bones. Wow. You had a personal story too.
I did.
What is it?
I wanted to share how simple it is to share Jesus. I was traveling from Modesto to Sacramento. How many of you guys take the Amtrak sometimes? Anybody take the Amtrak? Okay. So I was on the Amtrak on the train there, and I was talking to this person who was sitting next to me, and they happened to be very interested in spiritual topics, and I found it as a divine appointment. And actually, as I talked to this person, I was able to witness to them about what I was doing personally, telling them about different types of evangelism that I was involved in and what I was going to be doing in the future. And this person was so encouraged. They actually had heard about GLOW. How many of you guys have heard about GLOW as well? Amen, amen. They had heard about GLOW, and they were very excited that a young person had devoted their life to God's work. And it made them get more on fire to do this, the same thing. I was able to give him actually a stack of GLOW tracks for him to pass out himself. And so it's really cool. It's simple things. Everybody can't get up and preach, or can't, you know, give an evangelistic series, but everybody can do something.
I think you can. All right? If I can do it, you can do it. It just takes the opportunity. You see, God does things for you. All right? And your faith and your trust in Him allows you to do anything that He asks you to do. Do you remember the first few verses of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah and God are talking back and forth all right, about whether he should enter the prophetic gift and be a spokesman for the house of Israel. Jeremiah keeps on backing off and saying, I can't do it. And God keeps on saying, yeah, you can. And then the Lord gave him something that really is sweet. Okay? Do not be afraid of their faces. And when I was taking classes in how to preach, wasn't preaching that well. Believe it or not, the professor felt that I was going to not make the final test because in the little dinky room that we learned to preach in, I could reach out and touch almost everybody, and so I wouldn't talk with a big voice. I would say, this is what I feel, And he says, Gary, your final test is going to be in the huge church there in Collegedale. I am never going to hear you. Well, I took the test. He was sitting in the balcony. I said, the Lord loves you with all of your heart and His. It's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
He says, where did that voice come from? You're a little guy. I'm moved to go to Luke. And I'm not going to, you don't have to go there. I'm not going to stay there long enough. But in Luke 17, there's a story of 10 lepers. Remember the story. Do you remember what God said about this leper who came back? He said what? Okay? He said, what has made you whole? The answer, your faith has made you whole. And in the very next chapter, with blind Bartimaeus, all right? I preached a whole sermon. We're not going to do that today. But at the end of Christ's conversation with now not so blind Bartimaeus, he said, your faith has made you whole. Your faith can allow you with Jesus to accomplish anything, anywhere. Do not be afraid of it. However, again, as we continue, this sharing of the gospel of Christ and your faith with it is the most important thing that you can do in your entire life. Let's look for it.
Right. Oh, actually, I wanted to go into just a few ways of how we can minister in
sure.
our day-to-day life.
And then I'll drive it home, okay?
Okay.
How's that?
Sounds good. All right. So, as I was saying, it's Jesus' method to go from healing in a physical way into a spiritual way. And so I just had a few simple ideas that actually I was thinking of this morning, and it's been interesting to see that sharing Jesus can be so simple. That's the point I want to make today. If anything, is that sharing Jesus is so simple. Simple things like doing a food basket and taking it to somebody's door. And giving them, you can just say God bless you. It gives that other person the idea that this person is a Christian. They're not doing this to get something back. They're doing this because they care about me as their neighbor. Things like lawn care or things like that, or even buying the gas. I know gas is expensive, but you can buy the gas for the person after you. Like little things like that. That people will appreciate, that will say, wow, this person doesn't want something back from me. But they actually care about me as a person. And you know that you're doing this simply because you love Jesus and Jesus has done so much for you. Why not share that with someone else? And you have even like neighborhood drives, you know, cleaning up, you know, the neighborhood, different things like that. Even you have, how many sometimes you have kids and you can't really get out of the house sometimes? How about taking care of the kids for somebody and letting the parents get out? You know, things like that. Little simple things that you can do to share Jesus, share love in your community.
So what was the bottom line as we discussed?
Yours,
as you know, what was on your heart at the bottom line of the ministry of healing?
The bottom line of the ministry of healing is that, number one, it's for everyone.
Yep.
And number two, it's not hard to do.
I was in gathering, okay? I was 23 years old. In Baltimore, Maryland, impressionable as all get out, full of as much energy as you could think of, not necessarily much experience, but I was excited to do what we were doing, and someone had told me that if you really want to get some money in gathering, what you ought to do sometime just to try it is to go into a bar. And I said, are you kidding me? I was about as straight arrow as you ever see until I met LaDonna. And then it was a compliment. I meant it. So I went right into the bar and I gave my spiel and someone said, yeah, sure. Hey, I'll give you something. He hands over a five. And in 1971, that was good. And so don't do any math here, okay? All right. Wow. Well, I went to the next person. They did. Then someone from the other side of the room saying, you don't belong here. What are you here for? And I said, well, here's what I'm doing. And they said, sure. And some person, not thinking quite as clearly maybe as possible, gave me a 20. That didn't help me leave. And there was a woman, a black lady, really good looking. And she said, hey, honey. I might have been somewhat good looking at that point in time. I said, hello. And in my naivety, let's say, my divine naivety, I didn't get it. I told her what I was doing. She said, well, that's admirable. I said, thank you. And she said, I don't have any money. I said, that's okay. You know, I'm sharing the Lord with people too. She said, really? Well, what do you got to say? And I gave her basically a very short gospel presentation, and she said, I want to know more about that. I said, sure. She said, will you come over to my house next Tuesday at 2 o'clock? I said, absolutely. Sure, I could work that out. And so I went. Well, she was late. I knocked on the door and nothing was happening. Baltimore has row houses, okay? And you have to look that up. If you don't know what a row house is, Google it, okay? So I don't have anything to do. So I go down on the steps and I sit. And it's not more than a few minutes and five rather large individuals come over to the stairs where I'm sitting and said, what are you doing here? And I said, Michelle lives here and I met her the other day and she asked me to come by to give her a Bible study. Did you want to come? Not really. They didn't actually answer. But they looked at me hard, and then I thought, you know, by the way, you guys, do you like basketball? And tried to show no fear. I kind of understand a little bit of what was on. And they said, uh-huh. And I said, I love basketball. Looking at your sizes, you're probably a point guard. You're maybe a three, a swing man. And you, I'm going to bet they ask you to play the power forward position. And they kind of nod a little bit. And then I said, you know, I love it. I'm kind of small, but I love to play it. You might not guess it, but I'm a point guard. And I said, I play at a set of courts that sometimes the Baltimore Bullets, a pro team long ago, Washington Wizards today, come and play at. I live right across the street. You guys ought to come. It is wonderful. And about that time, Michelle shows up. She looks at them. She looks at me. She looks at them. She looks at me and she says, you need to come inside. And so we went inside and we got inside. She shuts the door and she looks at me and she says, do you have any idea who those five men are? I said, no, they're kind of like friends now, I think. And she said, no. They came over to beat you to a pulp. And how long did you talk to them? I said, 15 minutes. She said, come over, sit down. I want to listen to everything you have to say because you are a holy man. I said, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. And by the way, you really aren't supposed to be healthy right now. I said, okay. We talked. She was in business for herself, okay? But LaDonna can testify, I was clueless. And we talked, and the next time we got together, these guys came over, and I said, hi. Good to see you again. By the way, I didn't see you last week. Come on, let's go. Let's play some ball. And we went. They did come finally. The next time I came in, I said, you guys seem to come over when I'm there. And they said, uh-huh. I said, would you like to come inside? We're opening up the Bible. We're talking about the Lord Jesus. How about it? You want to do that? And you could see him struggling, okay? Ultimately, a couple of them came every week.
Amen.
Yeah. Gave me the best compliment I've ever had as an athlete. One of the guys said, you got black legs. I said, thank you. Thank you. The young lady was baptized and joined one of the churches in Baltimore, pastored by the Sayer father and son pastoral team. It was wonderful. I've heard that a couple of them didn't live very long. I heard that a couple of them actually went to church for a while and changed their lives completely. My friends, that is the ministry of healing. Yes. Why? Was I healed? Oh, you bet. How? You can go anywhere in the name of God. And if you are humbly sharing the gospel with your whole heart, God will send a million angels to sit between you and whomever to keep you safe. Amen. They were healed. I was healed. And we all praised God because of it.
Amen.
Give the Lord the opportunity to bless you.
Yes.
By deciding that you are going to share him with people.
That's right? A simple point that as well that we want to talk about is that by helping others, you're also helping yourself.
You grow.
Definitely.
So ministry is the healing of souls. Their soul and your soul. And this is what really life must be about. So the next time you see the verse or someone talks to you about this verse that you have heard so many times, the concept is, would you just do it? Don't just talk about it. Don't just dream about it. Grow it with Jesus so that He is allowed to come in and share that this is the essence of life. And certainly the essence of yours.
Yes.
Did you have parting thoughts?
Yes, I do actually have parting thoughts. Is it clear today that ministry is for everyone?
Yeah.
Amen. I find it very interesting that I, as a young person, have many, many friends who want nothing to do with God. You just have to look on Facebook, on the newsfeed, and see how many people are so godless or just want nothing to do with anything positive. And it's interesting to me to see that these same people, by one person or two people or 10 people doing something loving and kind, something simple that opens their heart up, that they are able to see Jesus in a way that they may not have perceived Him before. Many times, people in the world today, they see God as the God portrayed in the movies, the God who wants to cast judgment and destroy everything. But we know God as someone who is a God of love, a God who wants each and every one of us to be saved in the end. And so, as we close today, Jesus said, "Go." We've heard that probably as many times as the word "go" is found in the Bible. But Jesus went out healing and teaching, but He did more healing. It's very interesting to me that Jesus has healed each and every one of us in some way, shape, or form. That's the reason why we're sitting here today. It's because we're thankful for what He has done for us. But what I want to ask you today is, do you want to make ministry your reason for living? Do you want to make the healing of others and in turn healing yourself your reason for being a Christian, your reason for being here on this earth? Is your mission today to minister to each and every person you come in contact with, so that any time somebody sees you, they see Jesus?
Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us of scriptures that have been before us for our entire lives. You've blessed us with the Spirit in our presence. We ask that we would receive Him openly and completely. And would you, in this quiet moment, talk to each individual, talk to their soul, and tell them what you really want them to know. We trust you for this. Would you guide us as we share and we fellowship together? Would you allow us, please, to enjoy this Sabbath day to the max? Because you are in it. Thank you so very, very much, and I want to hear it again. We pray in the name of Jesus, and the whole congregation said,
amen.